Let's open in prayer. Get your Bibles out. Turn to the book of Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians has been a great study, I think. We've been talking about spiritual warfare, and we were talking about the different elements of the armor of God. The Christian, when they accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and it really doesn't matter at what age they did it, if they accepted Christ as a young toddler, or as a teenager, or an adult, or even in their senior years, the Christian is in a battle. They are in a war. And because we are in a war against a devil that has his henchmen, so to say, out to try to destroy our lives, he's trying to trip us up and get us to fall and ultimately destroy our faith. We have to remember that as a child of God, we have to expect to be able, or we have to expect to fight, to be in war. There's no way to escape the battle. We have to be aware. The Bible says, don't be ignorant of the enemy's devices. That means that you and I, as children of the living God, must be full of God's Word and mature in Him in a way that we are able to discern when the enemy is attacking. There can be times when we are just going through a normal day, and all of a sudden it just seems like everything is just thrown out of whack. If it's a bad attitude that starts it or whatever, but sometimes, and I don't know how, but the enemy knows how to seep his venom in somehow. And before you know it, there we go. How many of you know what I'm talking about? What seemed to be a good day all of a sudden is turning into a horrible day. All kinds of things like that. But we are in war. And the way that we fight this war is, first of all, by being prepared for battle. There is no soldier that will go into war without preparing to go into war. It's just like Jesus said, even in regards to our Christian faith, he said, you know, no man goes to battle, you know, without counting the cost first. You've got to think this thing through. You've got to be ready to fight until the very end, because you don't want to go and just go and fight half the battle and then retreat, in a sense, running back with the tail between the legs. You know what I mean? Just defeated, destroyed. We need to be ready to fight. It's just like Jesus said, the man that's going to build a house, he's got to sit down, count the cost first, lest he's only building halfways and leaves the house undone. In the same way, we must be full of God, full of His Word, and prepared for the battle so that we can have the intention on winning this battle all the way through. And so as we think about it, our ally, the one that is fighting with us, is God Himself. Aren't you thankful for that? We're not alone in this battle. We're not bearing this burden alone. He's with us. He's fighting with us. He is the one that supplies this armor. The Apostle Paul said that it's the whole armor of God, as it says in chapter 6, verse 13. It says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Our enemy is definitely Satan and his forces. Like we've said before, I don't want to belabor it, but there is an enemy, and there is a hierarchy of power. Satan can't be in every place at once like God can. He is limited. I mean, he would like to fool us to think he can be everywhere at once like God is, but he can't. He is limited. He's not always here in center. Who knows where he is most of the time? His headquarters, more than likely, is probably in the area of Europe somewhere. You know, we want to think that it's here in the United States, but it probably isn't. Satan's seat, or Satan's throne, as described in the book of Revelation, was in the area of where the early seven churches were. That's in the area of Asia Minor. That's beside the point. He can't be everywhere at once, but he does have his forces. It describes them there in verse 12. Our fight is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, and against spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. And so his forces are at work in the spiritual realm in a way that we are unaware. We are not aware of his workings in the natural, though his workings can manifest in the natural. That's why I've said before, we don't always see what the enemy is doing with our natural eye, but if we have discernment, we can begin to see his activity in our lives or trying to be active in our lives in certain ways. And so we must be a people that can discern the enemy. We must be a people that are not ignorant of his devices. That means that you and I must be careful where our feet tread. Amen? We must not go to places or go around areas where we know the enemy is going to be and he's going to attack. That's why it's you and I that must be careful where we go, who we're hanging around with, what we're watching on television, where we spend our time surfing on the internet. These kinds of things, we must not be ignorant of the enemy's attacks. If you have said that prayer, which I believe many of you have, and you've said, God, I want more of you in my life now than ever. I want to seek you with all of my heart, and your intention is to make progress in the kingdom of God. Don't be surprised if it seems like all hell breaks out against you. Did you hear what I just said? Don't be ignorant of the enemy's devices. If you want to make progress in the kingdom of God, don't expect that there's not going to be opposition to that progress. The opposer, Satan himself, is going to try to stop you. And so don't be surprised. You say that prayer, oh God, give me patience. How many of you have said that prayer? And it seems like all of a sudden everything that's going to try your patience happens that same day. Amen. I mean, it's like that. It's the working of God in us. So don't be surprised when all those things happen. But God's working in us. And he's going to allow. He allows the devil certain leeway, certain amount of moving in our lives. He does. But you've got to remember that devil is chained. He's not allowed to just have his heyday with you. Anything that the enemy is allowed to do into our lives is only allowed. He can only go to a point and no further. And I'm thankful to God that that's the case. Remember, the book of Job gives us some hints to this. Satan wanted to bring destruction to Job. And he wasn't able to because he says, well, look at that man. You have him hedged. You have him protected. And I'm here to tell you that you as a child of God are protected. And that's why we must understand that we have an enemy, but thank God we also have our ally who is God himself who gives us armament.
It's more like the way I see it is, you said that he's not allowed, it's only allowed so much for the devil to do with us, but it's how much we allow to affect us.
Yeah, we can also give him some leeway.
So
yeah.
Sometimes that's most of our fault, per se, that mm-hmm. say that, you know, we allow this mm-hmm. more to happen than,
yeah.
or affect us more than what it is.
So. Yeah, yeah. We are involved in it somewhat. Like the Bible says, don't give the enemy a foothold, or don't give him any kind of room in you. You know, if we go and play around with sin, then you're giving him a wide open door to mess with you. So we must guard our hearts. Amen? And so we do have a part in keeping ourselves. That's why we must put on that whole armor of God, just like we have here in this picture. We must do our part in keeping ourselves protected. So we do have a part to play. I mean, if you're not holding up that shield and those darts are hitting you, well, that's your fault for not holding up the shield. Amen? My fault. Our fault. But on the other hand, you know, sometimes you can be there and you're protected. You're guarding your heart. You're guarding your mind. You're not going places. You're not, you follow what I'm saying? We're doing our part. But the enemy still has an attack. And so sometimes it's us allowing, but the enemy's going to keep on attacking. And so we must remember, he's trying to do it. We have our part in not giving him a foothold. Don't give him room. Don't give place, Paul would say, to the devil. Don't give him any aspect, any part of you. Amen. And so we have our part, but he also is going to try. That's why we must be prepared. And so he went into those different pieces of the armor, which we have discussed. I think the last one, we stopped right here with the sword of the Spirit. But let's read it on. It says in verse 14, stand therefore, having your waist girded with truth, in which it's talking about the belt of truth. Remember, the belt is useful. It, first of all, helps to hold up the rest of your stuff. It helps to hold your sword, the sheath, helps to hold other areas. Even it can hold the skirting if you need more freedom to move around. You kind of lift it up, tuck it in, and you can move freely. So the belt of truth, the girdle of truth, having, it says, put on the breastplate of righteousness. Now there's a shielding that is there that protects. Should the shield of faith allow or something still come in, that breastplate of righteousness still is protecting you. Now remember, all of these elements have to do with Christ and who He is. Your understanding of the truth. Remember, Jesus Christ is the truth. The breastplate of righteousness is understanding that we are righteous by faith through the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. But it also means that we're standing in Christ's righteousness, not our own. And so all of this has to do with who He is as well. It says in verse 15, having your feet shod or fitted with the readiness of the gospel of peace. Brother Gary brought out last time, the fact is that unless we're founded in Christ, there really is no peace. Remember, Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And so we must have our feet protected by the gospel of peace. And then it went on and says, and above all, taking the shield of faith. The shield of faith, which you will be able to extinguish all the fiery arrows or darts of the evil one. Now remember, the enemy is going to attack. I mean, and that's why we must hold up that shield of faith to protect ourselves against his weaponry. Now remember, the shield of faith deals with faith. The Bible says that we must come to God and believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We must have a standing, an understanding of who we are in Christ Jesus by faith, so that when the lies of the devil are trying to bring us down, we're able to stand sure. Now the next piece is the helmet of salvation. We were talking about that as well last time. How part of the battle is in the mind. It's amazing how much goes on in our minds. Isn't that true? I mean, our minds are constantly are engaged in something. Our minds are thinking about things. We can do a lot. And I think Brother Gary brought something out last time that was very important. How that if we stay in the sea of thoughts and don't get out of that sometimes by hearing things or by listening to things or by speaking things, then it's going to stay a constant battle in the mind. And so how the enemy has access into our mind, our thought life, it's hard to explain. The last time I brought out, when you think about the city of Israel, the city of Jerusalem specifically, it's surrounded by a wall. It's protected from enemy intrusion, but at the same time, the enemy can't just come right in because it faces a wall. But that enemy can still get arrows and shoot them over the wall into that particular city. And that's, in a sense, talking about the thought life. There's a definite activity up there, and sometimes some of those thoughts are coming straight from the enemy himself. Sometimes those thoughts are coming from our own lower nature, our fallen nature. The fallen nature, the sinful nature that you and I have, it's all a result of Adam and Eve's fall. Sin inside of us, it's a sin issue. It's not the acts of sin that we've done in disobeying or doing wrong things. But there's an issue inside, a sin issue. That's why we get old and die. That's why our bodies break down. That's why we're cursed. It's because of the sin element within. The fallen nature itself has wickedness. I don't know about you, but if you allow yourself, or if I was to allow myself to be in the flesh and to start thinking wickedly, I can think of some pretty wicked stuff. How many of you know what I'm talking about? It's in there. And if we allow it to have activity, then there's a problem, isn't there? And so, not only can the thoughts invading our minds come from without, the enemy throwing his darts or his arrows in there, but then it's also coming from within, the fallen nature. And then it's also happening when we allow ourselves to be around certain things or watching certain things. What are we allowing into our eyes? What are we handling with our hands? Where are our feet going? And so that begins to influence the mind as well. Martin Luther said this, we said it the last time, but let's say it again. He said, you can't stop the birds from flying around your head, but you can stop the birds from building a nest in your hair. And that's the truth in regards to our thought life. What are we dwelling on? What are we allowing or entertaining in our minds? And if we allow entertainment, or we give thought time to, then it's in a sense the bird is beginning to build its nest. But I like the way Brother Gary said it last time. When you're listening to someone, your mind begins to focus on what you're hearing. Isn't that right? So instead of just staying in our thoughts all the time, we sometimes got to get out. Get the Word of God and get it read out loud to you. So the Word of God is coming into your ears and your thought life is now focusing on those words. Or, like he brought out, you're speaking things from your own. You know, it's like, how did you say, Brother Gary? It's like when you say one, two, you know, you two.
Oh, just if you're silently, if you count to 100 or 20 or whatever.
Yeah.
And silently in your head, you're going 1, 2, 3, 4. And then I ask you to say your name aloud. You forget where you're counting. That counting, that thought is mm-hmm. gone.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just because you speak a word.
Yeah. So it's been spoken, but it's also been heard. And it takes you out of that sea of thoughts. You know, that's why, you know, whenever, and I don't know if you've ever been there, and if you have, I'm not trying to be critical, but when someone has been into or gone into the state of depression, more often than not, that individual begins to shut themselves off from people. You ever notice that? Or from the world, and sometimes they just lock themselves into a room or into a house, and they don't want to get out of that, and there's not much talking going on, but there's definitely a lot of stuff going on up here. And that's what, when you think about it, that's why it's so important not to just allow ourselves to get into that kind of predicament. Remember, we preached a message a little while back on Elijah. After he had called down fire and destroyed those prophets of Baal, I mean, all of a sudden Jezebel said, man, by tomorrow this time you're going to be a dead man. And he took off. And when he took off, he ended up going and he began to go into a state almost of depression. Some have called it the cave experience. He eventually ended up at a cave. And it was a very troubling thing, but that cave, in a sense, kind of talks about that depressive state. You're kind of shut out from everything. You're not able to, do anything and anything. So it's just a hard, closed-in kind of situation. And so when you think about it, it's so important to get out of that. And that's why it's important for us to get into the Word of God, hearing it, speaking it. Sometimes you can speak the Word to yourself. Amen? Read it out loud to yourself. Get it in you. That's where it's good to get some good sermon or sermons. Go to Times Square Church and listen to a good sermon online or something and hear it, listen to it. Amen? But at the same time, we've got to come to the place of speaking these things. See, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And so the helmet of salvation along with the shield of faith are very, very important in regards to shielding ourselves from attack. What we allow into our minds, you see, what comes in the here begins to affect everything else we do. What's in the mind can also, in some senses, begin with what we allow into our hearts. Remember, Jesus said, out of the heart comes many different things. Remember? Murders, adulteries, but he also included within that evil thoughts. And so we must fill our hearts and our minds with those things, as Paul would say in Philippians chapter 4, those things that are good, those things that are honest, those things that are of good report. If there be any praise, if there be any virtue, think on these things. So we have a part to play in what we allow into our minds. Amen? And when the enemy does come in with his wicked thoughts, we must take those thoughts and bring them captive. Bring them subject to Christ. So we have a part in the battle of the mind. Now we can't always stop sometimes some of those thoughts that come. Some of those thoughts can be wicked. Some of those thoughts can be lustful. Some of those thoughts can be horrid. You know what I'm saying? But when they come in, we have a part in the battle. And we must bring those thoughts subject to Him. Amen? That's why when it happens, that's why we were talking about the last time, good music can help. Amen? You ever been there and all of a sudden a worldly song comes in from the past? And all of a sudden there's that tune or that beat or whatever. And you begin to say, no, no, and you stop it. And start singing a praise song. Amen? You know, you put on a good Christian CD or MP3 or I'll go to Pandora and put it on there and say, give me some good praise and worship music. And then you start hearing some good things to counter the worldly thought that was there, the worldly song. Amen?
I was just going to go back and touch about what you were saying. Because I recently went through some personal issues that it was really hard for me.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, now this time just trying to, like you say, suppress them and just put them away and leave it in God's hand. But nevertheless, my mind's still thinking. And it, like you were saying, you know, your mind's just going and going. And the more you put attention to it, the more it gets you.
Yeah.
And so, like you were explaining about those arrows going over the wall.
Yeah.
You know, it's like your thoughts are going and Satan's just sending those arrows.
Mm-hmm.
And when he hits one of those thoughts that you're struggling with, and Satan says a reaction, or body reaction, or body language, that's when he sees, you know, all right, this is where
it's working.
It.
Yeah.
So then he started attacking more.
Oh, yeah.
That's where he started focusing.
Exactly.
And so it is a struggle. And like you said, you know, just listening to music and reading the Word of God and getting those thoughts out of it. It's hard, but
it is.
Eventually, God will provide for you.
He will. He really will. It's a definite battle.
The more you focus on your situation, what else are you going to think about? Your mind is so, you know, that's all you're going to think about. And then, you know, it's you start, you even in your own head, you can make these things bigger and bigger.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But I feel like the way to get out of that, you know, when you're focusing so much on yourself, where you see all the negative stuff that you are, or whatever, when you put your focus back on God, you see the good.
There you go.
You start to remember more about Him. You know, more about His goodness and all these things that you do on yourself. And I think that's how you can kind of work your way out of it.
Definitely.
Depression.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, because it's very true. I mean, the mind, what happens to the mind can be very, very tough. There's no doubt about it. You know, in a sense, it's like you're saying, I mean, you're just thinking about it so much. It's really, you're giving so much time to it, is that you're, in essence, allowing the bird to build a nest. If you think about it, you can stop it, but it's so easy when you're infatuated with something. It just, it's taken you, it's gripped you, and you can't think of anything else. And in that moment, it's, in a sense, it's beginning to become an issue in the mind that we've got to counter with truth, you know, with who God is and those kinds of things, because if not, it's going to be hard to tear down. You know, it becomes a stronghold, so to say. But definitely, the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation, it's not only just battling the thought life, but remember, it's the helmet of salvation. We are a saved people. Amen. We are God's children, and because we're saved, we've got to remember there will be a battle. But we've also got to keep our minds and our thoughts thinking about the beauty of our salvation. God has given us a great salvation. The Hebrew writer said it was a great salvation, and it's describing the depth, the vastness of this salvation. It's so big that we can't even fully comprehend it. It's a beautiful salvation. It's like was stated last night, we are able to sing a song the angels can't sing. What God has done for us in sending His own Son to die for us as human beings, I mean, it's beyond us. And yet, that's God's love for you and me. It's a great salvation, and we must fill our minds with an understanding of that salvation every day. But there is something about keeping our eyes fixed upon Jesus, almost like Sister Gina said. When our eyes are fixed on Him, and these the struggle comes, the winds and the waves of battle are coming, or thoughts, or the arrows are flying, and we're trying to guard with that shield of faith, you know, we must be the ones that, you know, when it's happening, no, Jesus is the author and finisher of my faith. Amen? He is the one that will accomplish what he has started. Oh, I shouldn't even say, okay. And so, but then, after that helmet of salvation, it comes with that final piece of armament, which is the sword of the Spirit. It says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You know, it's like we said with this graphic the last time, you know, there's this guy reading his Bible. I like the way the shadow shows him, you know, as if he's armed for battle. Amen? And unbeknown to him, there's these arrows flying at him. And that's like the daily grind as a Christian. I mean, there's no doubt that there you are, but the enemy is going to be under attack. And we must fill ourselves with God's Word. God's Word is vital for us as Christians. That's why the enemy tries as hard as he does to stop us from reading God's Word. You ever noticed? You know, we hear about it, we listen to sermons about it, but we ourselves as individuals must have a diligent Bible reading, study. We must have our own devotional life in God's Word. Because it's so crucial for us, because if you think about it, all the other pieces of the armor, all of them are all to protect. The only one that's going to destroy and cut and defend you is that sword. Amen. I mean, yeah, I guess you can probably use a good shield and knock someone out too. Amen. I mean, I guess if you had to, you could probably take that helmet off and throw it at someone, but you better put it back on after you knock them out. You follow what I'm saying? I mean, but for the most part, this sword is the main thing that's going to protect you and help you to fight and destroy the evil one. There's the breastplate. There's some other graphics real fast around there. The shield of faith. There's that guy with these arrows protecting himself. Helmet of salvation. But now, the sword of the Spirit, where it says, is the Word of God. I remember hearing a story, and for those that have heard this, hopefully you'll hear it again. For those that haven't heard it, just to emphasize the infallible Word of God and the power of God's Word. One time there was a lady, a family, who went to Mount Rushmore, and they went to go and view the beauty of the stonework, the engravings that took place there in the rocks of the presidents. So they went there and they parked in the parking lot before they would walk the trail to go and get a closer view. And when they went to get that closer view, the lady and the family, they all went out of their rental van. And so when they left the rental van, they made sure to put all their stuff away. The lady put her purse under some blankets in the middle console area. And she put her purse there. They took their camera out. And they went down the trail. And so when they were taking their pictures and all this kind of good stuff, the husband asked the wife, did you remember to lock the door on the van? And so she said, I think I did. And so when they returned after their sightseeing and their pictures, you know, seeing Mount Rushmore, they returned. And when they got to the van, they found that the van had been broken into. And so, lo and behold, they saw the doors were unlocked and they forgot to lock the doors. And so when they got into the van, they looked through it and the blanket was moved out of the way and her purse was gone. And inside of that purse, they had all their money, credit cards, you know, everything personal. And, you know, there's that fear right away of someone stealing your identity theft, you know, just horrible. And all the money that they needed for their vacation time, all gone, man, gone. And so you can imagine they were so frustrated. They're wondering, oh no, who stole it? What are they going to do with the credit cards? And so they returned home. When they got home, they're calling their banks, they're calling their credit card companies, cancel the credit cards, you know, close the bank accounts, you know, all of this. Just, you know, everything about identity and all that kind of stuff. And so they were worried and they began to wonder, oh no, who got this? Are they going to try to do this? A week or two later, they were at the house and they saw the UPS come to the house and came to drop off a package. And so the UPS man comes to the door, gives them a box, and they look to see the return address. There's nothing there, but it was sent directly to their house. And so they said, thank you. They brought the box into the house. And so when they came into the house, they cut the box open, and when they opened the box, to their surprise, was her purse. And inside that box, with the purse, was also a letter. And so they were like in awe. They're like, wow, look at this. Here's my purse. And so when she opens the purse, she looks through it, and the credit cards are there. You know, everything is there, minus the cash that would have been there. And so they crack open the letter that's in there with the purse, and they begin to read. And as she's reading through the letter, she realizes this guy says, this is so-and-so, and I just wanted to send you back your purse. And I wanted to let you know that while you were there at Mount Rushmore doing your thing, I broke into your van and I stole everything. I do want to let you know that you don't have to worry. I didn't use any of your credit cards. They're all there. Everything that was in the purse I've returned, minus just a few or some of the cash that was in your purse so that I could mail this box back to you. But I did want to explain. So he began to read. He wrote why. He says, well, I stole your stuff with the intention to take off with everything. But as I was going through your purse, I happened to come across that little Bible that you had in your purse. And so before I took off with everything, I sat down and began to read the Bible, and I felt horrible for what I had done. And so I do want to let you know, he says in the letter, that I've repented of all the wrong that I had done. I've begun to attend church now. I've got my heart right with God, and I do want to ask for your forgiveness for stealing your purse. And so, through it all, he says, I'm sorry I did use some of your cash, but you don't have to worry. Nothing was stolen nothing was used except for that little bit of cash. And so, please forgive me. And so, he returned the whole thing. The point is this, is that had it not been for the Bible in the purse, he would have probably wreaked havoc with all of her personal stuff, you know, or tried to anyways. But the Word of God has power to it. There is something very powerful about God's Word. And this man that stole the purse eventually returned it because he fell under conviction after reading God's Word. And so the Word of God has power not only to influence the sinner, it will also strengthen you as a believer. That's why it's so important for you to have a personal study time in the Word of God. Reading God's Word. It's like bread. It's like spiritual meat. And if it's not being eaten, then we are in a sense with a kind of one of those food sicknesses that people get. You know, when people are unhealthy and they, you know, what do you call it? Food poisoning. It's like a food sickness. There's a bulimia. Like bulimia and those things. What are those called? It's a more general. Eating disorder, there you go. You know, whenever we're not filling ourselves with God's Word spiritually, then you're going to end up with a spiritual eating disorder. And you're going to become anemic. You're going to become sick. And there's not going to be any sustenance in you to stand. I mean, if you and I go days without end and not eating physical food, we were going to grow weak, weary. I mean, your mind isn't as sharp. You know, all kinds of issues are going to happen if we're not eating our foods naturally. You know, they say, you know, even the naturalists or even those that are very medically aware of the benefits of food or what have you, they'll even say that there's a lot of benefits to fasting once in a while. You ever heard that? And so I'm not talking about the benefits of fasting. I'm talking about an unhealthy diet and you're not eating right. It's going to be the same thing spiritually. If you're not eating God's Word, spiritually speaking, or drinking God's Word, it's also described it as the milk of the Word. Amen? It's also described as the water, the living water. And if we're not filling ourselves with that spiritual sustenance, there is going to be disorder, spiritually speaking. That's why it's so important for us to get into God's Word as individuals. Amen? It's like I was saying the last time, you can go to christianbook.com. They even have MP3 players. It's just all dedicated with the Bible. You can even get them animated to where they even have like the action going on when you're listening to it. But they got the Bible on MP3 for like $30. And you get that little thing. Put the earphones on and listen to the Bible. Get it in you. I remember evangelist, I don't even know if he's alive anymore, but I was helping the church in Antonito between my first and second year of Bible school. And we had a revival there for 5 weeks straight, all night, every night for 5 weeks. And I was helping with the worship. So I was there playing my guitar. And I remember Hermano Ivana said this. He said that he would travel as an evangelist. Sometimes he'd travel on bus. But he said that what he had done back then was he got the Bible on cassette. That was before CDs and before MP3s. And he had the Bible on cassette. So he would travel from one location to the other via bus. And so he had his little Walkman. And so he would take the Bible, put the tape in there, and he says that he would be listening to it, traveling from place to place, filling himself with God's Word. He said, I would even leave it on while I was asleep. And even subconsciously, even if he was making Mimi asleep, the Word of God was still going into him. Amen? It's so important for you to get full of God's Word. You know, as a young child, I know when I was a young child spiritually, when I first got saved, I would read the Word of God constantly. But I can admit to you that there has been times where I have battled to read God's Word. When I first got saved, I read the Living Bible. And I read that thing from cover to cover, marked it all up. Then I graduated from the Living Bible to the NIV Bible. I got me a hardcover NIV study Bible, marked that thing up. And then after that, I wanted to graduate from the NIV to go to the New King James. But every New King James that I got, I gave away. I would be there talking to someone about the Lord. I'd tell them, do you have a Bible? They would say no. And I'd have this brand spanking new leather edition, beautiful Bible. And they'd say, oh, I don't have one. I'd say, here, take this one. I'd give them a brand new Bible. Most of them still have that Bible today. So then I'd talk to someone else. I'd order a new one, leather bound, give it away. But I'd rather that this has more value to someone. Amen? Than just telling them. It's like that person that comes to you in need and you say, oh yeah, eat, drink, be merry, and say, go your way, and you don't really help them out. We've got to be willing to give them. Sometimes it'll cost us, but that's the best cost to give. Amen? I gave all my New King James. I eventually ended up in Bible school, took a King James version there. At that time, that was the Bible they required, so I had a King James Bible. I got real used to that one. Now, this one's an MEV version, Modern English version. It doesn't really matter. The Word of God, that's the point I'm trying to get at. Read the Word of God. Take a pen in hand. Get a color marker if you have to. Crayons. I remember a guy in Bible school used crayons to mark his Bible up in different colors. You can go to the Christian bookstore and get yourself some custom-made, almost some Bible marker colored pencils kind of situation. Get it out there. Be ready to read, and something jumps out to you, underline it, circle it, put an exclamation point or an exclamation point to the side of it, put stars. Get a wide margin Bible and write your own little commentary as you're reading through it. But let the Word of God get in you. Amen. Keep a notebook to the side, and a verse jumps out at you and it speaks to you that day. Write it down. You know what I mean? And let the Word of God get in you. It is the sword of the Spirit. And whenever the enemy comes in like a flood, the Bible says the Lord will lift up a standard. Amen? But that standard is going to be lifted up because you're full of the Word of God as well. The enemy comes in and he starts to tell you through the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. He's trying to draw you down. Just like Jesus in the wilderness, you're going to battle that devil with God's Word. And then you should be mature enough in the Word that when the enemy tries to counteract with the Word, You bring him back down with the word. You know the devil knows the Bible? He knows the Bible, doesn't he? But we must know it just as much so that we're able to battle with the word, just like Jesus did. He says, doesn't the Bible say, or doesn't the scripture say, if you throw yourself off, not even you won't even bump your foot against a stone, the angels will take you up. But he also says, but it's also written, amen, not to tempt the Lord your God, and so on and so forth. God's word. God's word. There was a, and I can't verify the story, but I remember listening to a preaching. I was helping at the Timothy House in New York City. We would be allowed to go the weekends, and I would be able to minister to the men. The Timothy House was like a teen challenge kind of scenario, men that were coming off the streets, off drugs, alcohol, whatever. And they were working there, or they were in the home, the Timothy House, and it was in Spanish Harlem, that area of New York. And so we went there, and we would help out the weekend. And while there, I remember one of the brothers said, listen to this sermon, and he put on a tape, and it was a sermon entitled, Being Cast Out of Your Comfortableness. How God will take us sometimes and put us in the place where we're least comfortable, so that God can be glorified through us. Amen? Amen. I'm telling you what. Anyways, I remember that man in that tape began to express, and he began to tell a story of a missionary who, as he was doing his ministry, he was taken and he was thrown into prison because of the ministry, almost like doing his missionary work. He was talking about being cast out of your comfortableness. And so as a missionary, he was ministering in a particular area that was tough for him. It wasn't easy. You know, sometimes God's going to allow you to work in places that aren't always easy on you, but he will allow that to bring you to the place of seeing him work through you. And so this minister ended up being taken by the police, was thrown into prison, and they took away his Bible. They took away his Bible, and this pastor, I'll pick that up later, this pastor didn't have God's word, and he had this longing in his heart to hear God's word. This longing to take up the Bible and read God's word, and he began to pray, God, I want the word of God. I want the word. I mean, he's in a prison cell. And in that prison cell, there was a window with the bars, you know, of course, it was secure. But this man, as he was longing for God's word and began to pray, God, I want your word. He told the story that all of a sudden, one day, a white dove flew and landed on the window of that prison cell that he was in. And he said that that dove began to speak the word of God to him. And every day, for a season, a white dove would come to the window and he would be hearing the word of God because he longed for the word of God there. Will that always happen? Probably not. But it was a miracle that was taking place for this godly man who sincerely wanted God's word. The word of God is the sword of the Spirit. There is no way for you to defend yourself without it. How do we know how we are to live? How do we know how we're supposed to interact with people or the world? How do we know how to be as an individual, as a Christian? How do we know where we're going as a Christian? How do we understand the reality of spiritual things, of good things, of evil? How do we know these things? You're not going to know all those things just from attending church every Sunday. I mean, hopefully you'll learn a lot of that. You know, in a good church, we got to hear these things. You should be taught them. We should hear them in church. But we only go to church on Sunday mornings or maybe a Wednesday night. You follow what I'm saying? And if we allow that to be our meal of the word, so to say, then it's not enough. We need to have a habitual study of God's word. Amen? Habitually. That's why it's good. I mean, 2017 is right upon us. That's where it's time to make those, you know, we make those New Year resolutions, don't we? I mean, I think one of the greatest ones that you can make is to make it a habit to read God's Word every day. To make the point to say, I'm going to read through all of God's Word, the whole Bible, the year 2017. Amen? Or to say, I'm going to read the whole New Testament in the first 3 months. Or what have you. I mean, it doesn't really matter. There's Bible study plans you can get from anywhere. But that we will make the point to fill ourselves with God's Word. And when you do, saying that prayer, God, open up your Word to me. Amen? Open it up. God wants to speak through His Word to us. God can make some of these words which are on the paper become what are called Rhema words. You see, the Word of God is known as the Logos or Logos, depending how you pronounce the word. The written word, the Bible, is the Logos word. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Logos, Logos. But then there are times when the Word is speaking directly to you as an individual. And there are times when this scripture, even though written centuries ago, God can use this word and speak right to you, personally to you, a Rhema word. Yeah. Remember when Peter was there on the boat and Jesus was walking on the water? And all of a sudden Jesus said, well, come, get off that boat, however you said it, remember that? Get off the boat, come here. And the Bible says Peter got off the boat and began to walk on the water. For a little while, that was. When he was told to get off that boat and walk on the water, that was a Rhema word. God wants to speak to you what He wants to tell you. He's telling you. He's telling Brother Pedro. He's not telling Sister Gina. Now, Brother Pedro may feel in his heart later on to say, look, the Lord told me something. Amen? Or he may keep it in his heart until the opportune time to express it to someone else. But God wants to speak specific things to you. Amen? But you fill yourself with God's Word, and sometimes it'll come directly from the Word to you. Or sometimes God will say specifics to you without the Word, but it will be confirmed in the Word. Amen? But this Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. God isn't adding to the Word. God isn't taking away from the Word. I believe that it's actually correct to say that the canon of Scripture is closed. Whoa, did I hear the beep? He have mercy. Where does time go? Have mercy on me. Anyways, the canon of Scripture is closed. You can have those that can call themselves prophets and say that they're speaking for the Lord. If they're really speaking from the Lord, it'll be confirmed by His Word. Did you hear that? There's no such thing as God adding to God's Word. The canon is closed. So when people say, oh, God's doing a new thing and it's not biblical, don't believe it. God's new thing will be confirmed in God's Word. Amen? Because the Bible says God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He does not change. Amen. But this is God's Word, and God will speak to you, but it will be confirmed in the Word. Remember that. This is God's plumb line. This is God's standard. This is our safeguard and keeping. Amen. God will do amazing things through us, right through His Word. And so fill yourself with God's Word as much as you can. Like I said, make that one of your New Year's resolutions, if you're making any, that you're going to get into God's Word the year 2017 like you've never done it before. Amen? If you find yourself, if you do a lot of traveling, I don't know if you do, but if you do a lot of traveling back and forth, that's where you can get one of those good Bibles on MP3. Get one of those little MP3 players. Get a connector. If you still have an old cassette tape, get the cassette tape connector. Plug in your MP3 player. Amen? Amen? We still have cassettes, then buy the cassettes. Find them on eBay. Probably get a good cheap price, too. Amen. If it's a CD player, then get the CD. Or if it's just modern, get it. I mean, you can even get it online for free. There's Bible programs, free. Get the Word of God in you in whatever way you can. Cell phone apps, and they'll read it to you. Right? What's that one app that the YouVersion? Anybody seen that one? YouVersion Bible app? I mean, that goes across. You can even have a Windows phone. It'll work on Windows. I mean, I'm telling you what. But you get it. And some of those versions, like the New Living Translation, it'll read it to you. Plug it into your stereo. Man, I'm telling you what, for free. You don't got to pay 1 cent, man. Get the Word of God in you. But look what it says here. Verse 17. Take the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation. And then it says, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And then he adds, to close this off, pray in the Spirit always with all kinds of prayer and supplication. To the end, be alert with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Amen? Prayer with a good helping of God's Word is so important for us as children of the living God. Amen? So get the Word of God. Fill yourself. I mean, if you want to get fat in a one way, get fat on the Word of God. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Fill yourself with God's Word. If you want to get full of God's Word, that's a good spiritual heftiness. Amen. Because it's good for you. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to have to stop there. I thought we were going to finish this today. And then I start blathering, so we'll finish this next time. Read verses 19 all the way to the end, which is Paul's closing statements for this thing. He finally says not only pray in the Spirit, but he says pray for me, that the power to speak may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Let's just finish this off. It says, now that you also may know my activities, how I am doing, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will make everything known to you. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know our activities and that he might comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brothers and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all of those who love the Lord Jesus in sincerity. Amen. Amen. So I'll go back to that one verse about prayer next time, but we're pretty much done. Thank God for His Word. Amen. So let's close in prayer and then we'll continue. Lord, we thank you so much for all that you are doing. I ask, Lord, that your word would truly impact every one of our hearts and give us a desire this new year to be a people that will be girded up with the whole armor of God. That when the enemy comes in to try to attack us, we will fight. And that, Lord God, we will not only fight because we are prepared, that we have all of the armament on, but we will also be wielding that sword of the Spirit to battle and to attack and destroy that devil that's out to destroy us. And so we thank you for all that you're doing. I thank you again for your faithfulness. And so, Lord, continue your work in all of our hearts in Jesus' name. And everyone said, Amen.